From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the closing market report. It is the 10th day of April 2012, USDA Report Day. The WASDE numbers, the World Agricultural Supply and Demand Estimates, show on the domestic front that nothing changed in the corn spreadsheet. We'll have more details on it and what the future of corn prices might look like when we talk with Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities in New Market, Indiana. We'll take a look at the agricultural energies today, too. Stephen Platt of Archer Financial Services will be along. And as we close out our half hour, we'll discuss the agricultural weather forecast with Don Day at Day Weather in Cheyenne, Wyoming. And it all happens on this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report, a production of Illinois Public Media from the University of Illinois.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated, headquartered in Lafayette, Indiana, with branches in Chalmers, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois, providing independent commodity, financial, and currency analysis to its clients and newsletter subscribers. On the web at myrmconline.com.
In Chicago, on this Tuesday afternoon, futures finished the day lower. The nearby May wheat down 17 and a quarter to settle at 625 and three quarters. July at 632, 17 cents lower. The hard red settled at 650 and a quarter, down 19 and a half cents for the wheat in Kansas City. From Chicago, the May corn at 634 and three quarters, 14 and a quarter cents lower. July at 627 and one half, down 13 and three quarters. And September corn at $5.60 and three quarters, 7 3/4 cents lower. December futures at 543 and a half, down 6 3/4. And the March at 553 and a half, down 5 3/4. May corn of next year 5 1/2 lower at 561 3/4 cents. May soybeans at $14.26, down a nickel. July at 1427 and a quarter, 7 1/2 lower. August soybeans $14.18 and a quarter, down 7 3/4. In September at $13.88 and a quarter, down 12 3/4. November 13.64 and three quarters, 17 and a quarter lower. In January futures, 13.64 and a half, down 16 and a half cents. The March contract in the bean pit at 13.48 and a quarter, down 16 and a quarter cents. Bean meal at 3.89.80, up a dollar. Bean oil up 26 cents at 56.97. Live cattle futures finished the June at 114.30, down a dollar 47 and a half for the day. August at 117.30, down a dollar 7 1/2 cents. April feeders at 147.7 and a half, down a buck 7 1/2, and May futures at 147.60, down 90 cents. April lean hogs, $83.80, down 62 1/2 cents. You're listening to the Closing Market Report, a production of the University of Illinois. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Crude oil futures down $1.19 a barrel at $101.27. Ethanol at 2.22 9/10. That's 3 3/10 lower. Natural gas down 7 6/10 at $2.03 1/10. And heating oil or diesel fuel at $3.09 8/10, down 4 7/10 for the day. The gold futures at $1,659.50 an ounce, up $17. The dollar at 79.8, up 0.14. And the CRB index at 300.45. That's down 4.37. Here's what the weather forecast looks like. And the important part is the freeze warning that is in effect from 8 a.m. Central, or from 3 a.m. Central to 8 a.m. Central Time tomorrow, Wednesday morning. And it is in effect for the following cities. We could use counties, but let's use cities: Galesburg, Peoria, Bloomington, Havana, Lincoln, Champaign, Urbana, Danville, Jacksonville, Springfield, Taylorville, Decatur, Charleston, Mattoon, Shelbyville, Effingham, Flora, and Lawrenceville. So roughly the middle two-thirds of the state of Illinois under a freeze warning, according to the National Weather Service. The National Weather Service in Lincoln issued that freeze warning. Temperatures expected with lows tonight that range from 29 to 32 degrees. The cold temperatures, of course, may damage sensitive outdoor plants. Corn plants may be a little more hardy than that, but we'll find out how low the temperatures happen to go this evening, and we'll know more tomorrow and in, of course, the following days. On Wednesday, we should see a sunny sky, by the way, with a high of 56 and a 9 to 11 mile an hour gusting wind to 15 Wednesday night. Back down to 31 degrees with a northwest wind at 5 to 8 miles an hour. And on Thursday, sunny and 59. Thursday night, partly cloudy and 44. We'll learn more about the weather forecast when we get to the bottom of the half hour. We'll talk with Don Day of Day Weather. On the phone line now with us to take a look at the agricultural futures markets is Wayne Nelson at L&M Commodities in Newmarket, Indiana. Good afternoon to you, Wayne. How are you?
Well, doing fine, Todd. A lot of windy day over here, and maybe if that wind keeps up tonight, it'll keep some of the freeze damage away.
Yeah, so. Usually if you have a little wind, and even the call is for a 9 to 16 mile an hour wind in our area this evening, that usually will keep things from freezing up. So probably not too much damage, but it's still the middle of the month of April, isn't it?
It still is. It's time that it could easily freeze like that. But, you know, it's past the insurance date on the corn. That generally means that it's hardy enough and makes it most years at this point in time. And some of our favorite weathermen are saying not to worry too much about that freeze tonight. So, but, you know, the government come out today. They come out with their numbers. And basically, a little bit like last year, we had the March 1st stocks below expectations. And when we get to this report, why they didn't drop things like we thought they would, and they left the corn unchanged, and that disgruntled a few people.
Yeah, disgruntled a few people, and the market looked at it and said, really, 801, I guess that's what you want to do for carryout for this year, and we're going to drop the marketplace. And I don't know whether that was it. Lots of long liquidation. Was it the report this morning or outside markets that really pushed?
Well, the outside markets, the Dow was lower, the crude oil was lower. We saw sugar being lower, and of course that's been one of the things that we thought would help the ethanol exports if crude stays high. And of course the dollar stayed firm along with that, and the numbers that the government stuck out. And let's face it, a lot of people went into this report, you know, most of the guys that wanted to be long were long at this point. And so we saw a little bit of profit taking develop, and as it developed motion, why it fed on itself. So basically, I think all those things put together give us a down day, and we're going to look towards the weather reports from here on in.
You know, a down day not only for corn, but in soybeans, too, although there was just a slight change in the numbers for soybeans.
You know, yeah, I think that, of course, we did, the USDA did take the pretty good drop in the South American crop. We saw CONAB come out and drop their bean number again today, but we're well within striking distance of that, or feeling within a percentage of what that is. You know, we also announced a sale of beans to China today that looks like they're going to be back in here, but I think what it come down to at the end of the day was that the money flow was actually a little bit out of commodities today, a little risk-off attitude by some of the big funds that were, you know, greatly long going into the day, Todd. So, you know, that's one of the things that they're looking at.
And when we take a look at the other report of importance, which came out yesterday afternoon, and we'll have details on this one in just a bit from the statisticians across the Midwest, Illinois now at 17% complete on the 8th day of April for its corn planting. Your state at 6%, and normally Illinois would be at 1% on the 5-year rolling average, and Indiana at 6%. Or at 0%.
Yeah, I mean, basically, this crop is flying in. I think one of the things that in the commentary was that they felt that there would be a large amount of corn that would become available during the month of August that could help us get to that really stretch a time period when they thought we might be running very, very low and tight stocks of corn. The wheat crop, way ahead, and the idea, and we did see the government raise the amount of wheat used for feed this year, unlike last year where they cut the corn usage but didn't raise the wheat usage. So we did at least see that happen today, and except the wheat ratings being so strong, we thought there might be a little strength in the wheat market the way it came out today. But wheat ratings being good, looks like we're going to pick up stuff, and a lot of it will still be in the wheat market, so, feed market.
So the March 30 reports were kind of a bellwether day with an uptrend. Are you willing to say that this was a bellwether day today or not?
I think from here on in, we're going to trade weather. I think that we bumped up against some real technical points, you know, that the 1456 in the May beans as major resistance, and basically we went up towards that number and didn't break through it and closed down here. So I think, you know, we're going to have a lot of the technical traders talking about, you know, a little bit of retracement here. But I think overall we're going to find some fairly good support below the market in these beans and the old crop corn as tight as it is. Remember, the basis levels are just tremendously tight on both of those now, and especially the corn. So it's not going to fall totally out of bed on the old crop.
Wayne, thanks so much.
Thanks, Todd.
Wayne Nelson is with L&M Commodities in Newmarket, Indiana, joins us here on the Closing Market Report on this Tuesday afternoon.
WILL agricultural programs and services are made possible by the Friends of WILL and by Bates Commodities, Anderson's Incorporated, AgriGold Hybrids, and Wisconsin Plastic Drain Tile. Thank you for your continued support. Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 95 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
Of course, you're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It is public radio for the farming world. You can always find us online at willag.org. That's willag.org. There you'll find all of our daily agricultural programming from the pre-opening market report to the closing market report and everything in between. Even a look at our Commodity Week program. It's posted there before it ever gets to any radio station up on the website at willag.org. Can't get to our websites, can't listen to us on the radio. How about just dialing this number, 217-333-3434. We update it daily at about 10:15 and 3:15 with either the opening or closing numbers and a bit of analysis. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from the University of Illinois. This morning's USDA reports weren't the only item from the agency making news in the last 24 hours. Yesterday afternoon, NASS released the weekly crop progress report. It showed as of the 8th day of April, 7% of the corn was planted across the nation. That compares to the five-year rolling average of 2% and last year's pace of 3%. Now, here are updates from the states of Illinois, Iowa, Nebraska, and Indiana.
Hello, this is Greg Preston, director of the USDA NASS Field Office for Indiana. Farmers have taken advantage of the favorable weather and have worked hard to prepare fields. Since the start date for crop replanting insurance eligibility has passed, many farmers have worked feverishly to get some seed into the ground. The planting pace for the 2012 corn is ahead of the previous record of 3% of corn planted set in 2004. Some farmers had decided to wait to plant until there was a lower chance of frost. A few soybean fields have also been reported as being planted. Topsoil moisture was rated 4% very short, 18% short, 67% adequate, and 11% surplus. Subsoil moisture was rated 2% very short, 11% short, 76% adequate, and 11% surplus. Precipitation ranged from 0 to 1.61 inches. Temperatures averaged from a high of 87 to a low of 22 degrees. For 2012, 6% of the intended corn acreage has been planted, ahead of last year's 1% at this time and ahead of 0% that was planted for the five-year average. 29% of the winter wheat acreage is jointed, compared to 7% for last year and 9% for the five-year average. Winter wheat condition is rated at 83% good to excellent, compared with 57% last year at this time. This is Greg Preston reporting from the Indiana NASS Field Office.
This is Brad Schwab, Chief Crop Statistician with the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service Illinois Field Office. With temperatures averaging nearly 9 degrees above normal, paired with below normal rainfall, corn planting continued at a brisk pace last week, with topsoil moisture supplies being reported at 6% very short, 40% short, 51% adequate, and 3% surplus. Subsoil moisture below the 6-inch profile was rated short to mostly adequate. The wettest crop reporting district was the southeastern district, where topsoil moisture supplies were rated 70% adequate and 27% surplus. Near ideal soil conditions allowed corn planting to advance to 17% complete. This compares to 3% planted last year and 1% for the five-year average. Much of the early planted corn has also emerged at 2%. The crop reporting district leading the state in corn planting progress was the West Southwestern at 40% complete. And corn emergence in the two southern crop reporting districts has reached 6%. A few fields of soybeans totaling 1% statewide have also been planted. Oat seeding reached 91% complete, compared to 43% last year and 30% for the five-year average. Heading of the soft red winter wheat crop was reported at 8%, well ahead of normal for this time of year. And condition of the winter wheat crop was rated at 84% good or excellent. This has been Brad Schwab with the Illinois Field Office of the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service in Springfield.
This is Greg Tayson, Director of USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service Iowa Field Office, with the weekly crops and weather report for the week ending April 8, 2012. Another week of above-average temperatures and below-normal precipitation has Iowa farmers ready to get corn planting underway, but most have kept their planters out of the field and are waiting for Iowa's crop insurance plant date of April 11th to pass before they begin. Most of the week's rain occurred in the southern part of the state, with a statewide average of less than one-tenth of an inch, causing the week to be the driest in 8 weeks. Temperatures averaged 8.8 degrees above normal across the state and ranged from a high of 92 in Sioux City on Monday to a low of 25 degrees in Sibley on Sunday. There were 6 days suitable for field work during the past week, with application of anhydrous along with tillage and field preparation being the most common activities. Statewide, soil moisture levels are still a big concern, with most farmers hoping for rain before corn planting gets underway. Topsoil moisture levels rated 43% short to very short and 57% adequate to surplus. Northwest Iowa continues to be the driest area, with topsoil moisture rated 78% short to very short. Iowa's subsoil moisture rated 51% short to very short and 49% adequate to surplus. With only 1% of the corn planted across the state and much of their spring field work completed, farmers are anxious to get widespread planting underway. Oat planting has progressed rapidly this spring and stands at 75% complete, well beyond both last year's 29% and the five-year average of 21%, while 23% of the oat acreage has emerged, which is 16 days ahead of normal. This is Greg Tayson reporting from the USDA NAS Iowa Field Office.
This is David Biar of USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service, Nebraska Field Office, with the crop weather report for the week ending April 8, 2012. Even though conditions were favorable for planting corn, only a limited number of fields were planted, with most producers waiting for the crop insurance initial planting date. Corn planted remained at 1%. Soil moisture levels continued below previous year and five-year averages, with precipitation limited to the southern tier of counties. Planting of oats reached the halfway point, with 15% of the crop emerged. Wheat was beginning to join well ahead of average. Wheat conditions rated 5% poor, 35% fair, 52% good, and 8% excellent, well above last year's 35% good to excellent. Cattle and calves were in mostly good to excellent condition. Spring calving was 83% complete, with calf losses well below average. This is David Biar of USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service, Nebraska Field Office in Lincoln.
Our thanks to the statisticians in Nebraska, Iowa, Illinois, and Indiana for those weekly updates of the crop progress reports. Now up next, you know, the prospective plantings report, we'll stay with USDA agency figures, was released last month, and it gave traders much to consider. Among the factors is just where additional crop acres for corn might be located, as you'll hear in a moment. While there are more acres, these acres are pretty much in the same place as usual.
Leonard Seed Service supports agricultural programs as an additional service to its customers. Leonard Seed Service is an independent dealer providing DeKalb and Asgrow seed products to farmers throughout East Central Illinois via the Asgrow on-demand bulk soybean handling system. Leonard Seed Service, 217-497-2270.
The reason location makes a difference is because not all acres are equally productive, so the location has a direct impact on how many total bushels of corn are produced each season. Over the last decade, Extension Farm Management Specialist Gary Snitke says U.S. farmers have increased the number of acres planted to corn, but that really those acres haven't come in fringe or low productivity areas.
That's correct, and what we've seen over the past decade is an increase in corn acres, and over since the beginning of the 2000 decade till 2012, corn acres have increased by about 20% in the United States. But if you look at the share, each state's share of total planted acres, it really hasn't changed much at all. And in fact, the top five or top six ranked states in terms of corn plantings were the same in 2012 as they were in 2000 and each year between 2000 and 2012.
So each of the top six producing corn states in the nation, they are in order, Iowa, Illinois, Nebraska, Minnesota, Indiana, and South Dakota, have increased the number of corn acres planted. There are more corn acres, but by percentage, these acres are still in the same places. For instance, in 2000, Iowa farmers planted 25% of the nation's corn acres. They're expected to plant the same number of percentage this year, but many more acres. It simply says corn is being produced on the most productive corn-producing land, says Gary Schnitke.
And what we're seeing as we increase that percentage is that we're getting more intense on that those corn acres. So, for example, in Illinois, rather than being a corn-soybean rotation, we're moving more to a corn-corn-soybean rotation or something of that nature. We're seeing more intense plantings of corn on what is pretty good corn-producing land.
Corn, then, is being produced more often on more of the same acres. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
Support for the Closing Market Report comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a Tuesday afternoon. Time to check the agricultural energy markets. Once a month, we're joined by Steve Platt at Archer Financial Services in Chicago, Illinois. This looks like a good day to have him on with us. Things were a bit lower in the crude oil for the day. Can you take us through what's been happening on the world markets?
Well, we've seen a lot of confidence quashed, I think, here over the past week or so in terms of how actively the Fed will accommodate the market. In addition, there's a lot of concern developing over some of the emerging market demand. I think we'll start to see this translate into some further revisions downward in the international global demand numbers here on the IEA report tomorrow. All these factors contributing to a weak tone today, with the crude now at 101.23 on the lead contract, and also some pressure on the product markets as well.
Will this put pressure on ethanol and ethanol producing plants to cut back on their production?
I doubt it. Right now, they're starting to see some, once again, a favorable margin environment with the corn price coming down. That should help maintain production, I think, in terms of the ethanol.
Do you have concern for the agricultural energies that they don't, in this case, corn-based ethanol, does not meet the advanced fuels standards set forth by Congress, and that we're up against, relatively speaking, a 10% blend wall?
Well, I think that is going to continue to be, they're going to move very slowly with respect to changing that. And I don't think Congress is really willing to step out. And they're going to take a more conservative stance as we move toward the elections and changing that standard. I do think that overall, though, that the energy outlook is certainly much more favorable, with the nat gas and power industries all seeing much lower prices. And that overall is a much better environment, I think, for the economy overall.
And finally, is there anything that we need to take up that we have not discussed with you today?
Some pressure on these markets, and it's not uncommon for these markets to fall seasonally during this time frame. Crude fell about $20 last year, $20 in 2010 in the April-May time frame, and I wouldn't be surprised if we possibly see the low 90s this year around as well.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Steve Platt is with Archer Financial Services, back in just 2 minutes.
It's National Chinese Almond Cookie Day. On this day in agricultural history in 1682, Robert de La Salle discovered the mouth of the Mississippi River and claimed the whole Mississippi Basin for France. He named it Louisiana in honor of Louis XIV of France. La Salle returned to the New World 2 years later with intent to establish a French colony on the Gulf of Mexico at the mouth of the Mississippi. But the expedition was plagued by pirates and poor navigation, landing on what today is Victoria, Texas. LaSalle never saw the Mississippi again. Three attempts to find it on foot failed, and LaSalle was eventually murdered by one of just 36 colonists remaining from the original 300 making the trip. In 1850, William Prout died, an English chemist. He was the first to classify food components into three main divisions: carbohydrates, fats, and proteins. In 1872, Samuel R. Percy of New York received a patent for dried milk. In 1894, R.H. Gray received a patent for a baling press. And in 1922, Sir Patrick Manson died. Manson co-founded a dairy farm in 1886 in Hong Kong, which looked to improve health by supplying cows milk free of contamination by means of stringent hygiene. And that's this day in agricultural history.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report on a Tuesday afternoon. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason. On the phone line with us, Don Day at Day Weather in Cheyenne, Wyoming. Boy, Don, it's chilly by all accounts here. That may be all the warm weather we've had in recent days. What do you see for us over the next week or so?
Well, we are going to see a trend that is going to be a little bit warmer. Is a big low, an area of big low pressure is going to be coming into the western states, the western plain states, as we get into the weekend and early next week. That, in turn, will take the wind direction and turn it around and bring up some warmer air. So warmer weather is coming. However, it's also going to be a fairly stormy pattern. There's going to be some high probability that we're looking at wet weather developing as it gets warmer as well.
If you take a look into that wet weather, will it be broad enough that it will cover a good portion of the Midwest, say to the 75 or 80% prospects across the Corn Belt?
I would say so. Now, I would say that the areas that don't look to be doing as well would be the eastern Corn Belt. I don't think Ohio, I don't think southern and eastern Indiana will maybe get as much precipitation. They'll get wet. The areas that look, at least at the moment, most wet would be Illinois, Missouri, Iowa, portions of southern Wisconsin. It looks like the southern plains, Texas, Kansas, even Nebraska, those areas, eastern Oklahoma, are going to fare the best.
That northwestern Iowa, Minnesota, and North Dakota area has been pretty dry. Is it in the rain front, too?
It's going to be an area that is going to get some precipitation, but I do think they're going to miss out on the heavier stuff. However, the prospects for a pattern that will be more wet for those areas is looking favorable.
And then how quickly do we come back to warmer weather?
Well, I with the precipitation, that's going to cool things down a little bit. I would say that we're going to see a temperature trend that is going to be fairly close to normal, but don't expect a rapid warm-up. And with this precipitation that is looking like it's likely, it's going to be hard to get real warm too long. I would go more towards an average temperature regime over the next 6 to 10 days.
And then look at other places around the planet, China in particular. Give me your take on how their growing season might be kicking off.
Well, it looks pretty stormy in China. It looks like many areas are going to see some pretty beneficial precipitation in the key growing areas. I would say it's also an outlook that's going to be similar to the U.S. in terms of close to normal temperatures. We call it the Goldilocks forecast. Not too cold, not too hot, just right, just about where it should be for the middle of April.
And then if you could go through Europe and Ukraine and tell me about the wheat crops and how they're faring, those winter wheat crops, as they're coming out of dormancy.
Well, there is a bit of a shift. Lately, it's been Eastern Europe and Ukraine that's had the most precipitation, and they're looking at average amounts, but the heavier precipitation is going to be shifting to Central and Western Europe. So Germany, France, Italy, those areas are going to see the heaviest precipitation. The extreme western areas of the Ukraine and Russia will also get into the act. The further east you go, the drier it will be.
Thanks so much.
Thank you.
That's Don Day with Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming, and wraps up this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report. I'm Todd Gleason.
Support comes from Stuart Peterson, since 1985 offering strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. Stuart Peterson develops strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information at stuart-peterson.com.